Part 40, what's in it for us? The Old Testament. I'm really glad that we don't have to worry about Jeremiah. I really am. I mean, we have enough troubles today. But let's just kind of summarize, kind of finish off the end of Jeremiah, because we're just going to get in. I didn't even want to do Lamentations, because it's hard stuff, but we'll just touch on it a little bit here this morning. Chapter 46 of Jeremiah. I've just got some quick notes here for summary. It's a description of the defeat of the Egyptian army. And that's what we get the rest of these chapters here. 47, the Philistines get clobbered. And 48, Moab gets clobbered. In fact, back at 47, 47 is also mentioned within Isaiah, Amos, Ezekiel, Zephaniah, and Zechariah. If you've got the kind of mind that remembers all this stuff that goes on when you read, you can start putting all this stuff together as you read through all these different books. I don't have that ability. If I ever did, I suppose. But if you want to look at the Philistines as described by Isaiah and Amos and Ezekiel, Zephaniah, and Zechariah, the notes are there. And you get even more detail. Chapter 48, Moab. Moab even helped Nebuchadnezzar, but Nebuchadnezzar still took care of him, so much for compromising and playing with the enemy. 49, more predictions, more prophecies that Ammon, Edom, Syria, Hazor, and Elam are going to get clobbered, and they do. We get to chapter 50. And we've even talked about this a little bit. We just see in the verse 59, I think it is. No, chapter 51. Chapter 51. 50 and 51 is what we're looking at. This is where Babylon is going to fall. Jeremiah, still at the end of all this stuff, knows his people are getting clobbered and God's anger is getting on them and everything, and yet he knows that God will still be there for them in the end. So now he's talking about here how Babylon will fall. I mean, here's the enemy coming in, and it will fall. And we know that the enemy is coming into our world. It's already here. In fact, the world is the enemy. And someday it will fall. I want you want to read a couple quick verses here, though. Jeremiah 51. Well, we did this thing about Sarai the prince, but up to verse 63. And it shall be, when thou hast made an end of reading this book, that thou shalt bind a stone to it and cast it into the midst of the Euphrates. And thou shalt say, thus shall Babylon sink, and shall not rise from the evil that I will bring upon her, and they shall be weary. Now, I like how it ends here. Thus far are the words of Jeremiah, even though those are the words of God. So Jeremiah just finishes up with, it's quite a detailed clobbering. Now, chapter 52, which we will not read this morning. We're not going to do that. You can do it on your own if you haven't already. See some things in there, but it's been mentioned here that chapter 52 is a good introduction to Lamentations. Just consider chapter 52 as a bridge or whatever into Lamentations. And then Lamentations. Let's go to chapter 3. You got the notes out there in the web land. Cancel, I have it written here. Look at verse 22. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Look at 25. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. Now, like 27, it is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. He sitteth alone and keepeth silence, because he hath borne it upon him. And then it goes on. We see Jeremiah here. This is just a a hard thing for him, obviously, because he's seen his own city absolutely destroyed. Now, how do we feel when we see the King James Bible doing what's happening to it, what is happening to it? You know that few people believe this thing anymore. You know they hate it. They're getting rid of it all the places they can. They've already gotten rid of it as many places they can without coming up with a law. And you know that people read it, they don't know how to rightly divide. So as a result, you're seeing truth out of a King James Bible either misapplied or mistaught or misunderstood. You're seeing people base their standard, their stands on false, on wrong verses. You see people being Christians that are miserable. They don't understand what we talked about like last week. Do we see the destruction that Jeremiah saw with Jerusalem, with his city? And do we have any kind of feelings of the same manner towards what's happening to the Word of God? And is it just because it's our Bible? No, it's because, like Jeremiah said, look at Jeremiah 23. I'll have you go there just to make sure if your verse is marked there or not. Jeremiah 23. See, Jeremiah was concerned about his people, but it's verse 9 that tells us why he was as concerned as he was, because it wasn't just the people. Jeremiah 23:9. Mine heart within me is broken. Then down at the bottom of that verse, because of the Lord, he knows who the Lord is, and because of the words of his holiness. We should not only be disturbed that what's happening to this Bible is what for our children, but because of what it is. It's the Word of God. These are his words. And we know that this world cannot operate without his words. We know that our children cannot survive spiritually, properly, without his words. So we ought to be as concerned over this book as Jeremiah was over Jerusalem. And then if you want, you can pass some of that concern and care over to the people that have a King James Bible and do know how to rightly divide it. And when we see them trip or mess up or something hits them, sin gets a hold of them and they followed it and life goes on, we can be concerned for them, we can be hurt for them. We certainly don't need to kill them. And we know that just like Jeremiah shows us here, that God is going to bounce back, God's people are going to bounce back, and we know that the Word of God will never be destroyed. And it'll come back. It'll come back. It's just things we need to consider as we try to figure out what can we get out of Jeremiah and Lamentations. Lamentations is a hard thing to read. It's not a horribly hard thing to read because we're not there. But it's a hard thing to read when we kind of consider what's going on today with our Bible, with people. You know the place in there where it, I might skip my notes here. The place where it talks about the famine is so strong that they boil their own children. That's pretty hungry. And we can't imagine somebody doing something like that. But then look at the Bible. The Bible is so destroyed. Or maybe the family is destroyed within the family, or the Bible is destroyed within that family, that you're still killing your children. Why would anybody out there, not just here, but just in general, anybody gets to hear this thing this morning, who doesn't teach the Bible to their children and rightly divide it and show them that stuff and get involved where they learn that sort of a thing, why is that any different than just boiling your children and eating them during the tribulation or during Nebuchadnezzar's time there? You're still killing your children, see? So if we can read this Bible, this Old Testament, in such a manner that we can see similar patterns in our own lives. We really can. We don't have to worry about God's physical destruction, but spiritual destruction is eternally damaging. So plus our children then learn what it was like when the kingdom of heaven was, where things took place on earth, and if they didn't do right, then they got punished for it. They can be pleased that they don't have to live in that kind of an era. Can't imagine boiling my child. I mean, wow. But I can't imagine just ignoring my children either. Or teaching them wrong. Or not knowing what to teach them. Not knowing if you are actually teaching them correctly. And we've all been in that position. Anyway, so enough of that little mini sermon there. Lamentations chapter 1. And if you want to call them the whinings of Jeremiah, maybe that'll help you understand what it is. The Lamentations, he feels bad. He feels very bad. This book consists of 5 poems. Not the kind of poems I am familiar with, roses are red, violets are blue, kind of a thing. And they're considered an acrostic, where each verse begins with a different letter of the Hebrew alphabet. I don't know Hebrew, so I'm just taking the word for it on this. But there are 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. So, chapter 1 has how many verses? 22. Chapter 2 has 22. Chapter 4 has 22. Chapter 3 has 66, because there's 3 verses per letter. And chapter 5 has 22 verses, but I guess they're not in alphabetical order, in case anybody didn't notice that this morning. I didn't notice that. I never caught on to that. But it's still interesting. That thing is written in an acrostic, so the each letter of the alphabet for each verse. Hebrew. Now, chapter 1. Here we go. Chapter 1. Here we go. Zion Desolate. That's the title. All of these chapters have the same subject. It's just they're being ruined. Ruined. They're just being destroyed. We see in chapter 1 here that the emphasis in this chapter is that the people brought the catastrophe upon themselves. That's one of the comments I'm getting from the stuff I've been reading here. Just a quick summary for this morning. I got my own thing coming up here in a minute. Look at verse 1. How doth the city... Nope, chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 1. How hath the Lord covered the daughter of Zion with a cloud in his anger? Chapter 2 talks about his anger and what he's doing to them because of his anger. Now look at verse 15 of chapter 2. All that passed by clapped their hands at thee. They hissed and wagged their head at the daughter of Jerusalem, saying, is this the city that men call the perfection of beauty, the joy of the whole earth? Apparently that place must have been just an absolute beautiful place. And we know that'll be in the future as well. But I mean, right, even right now. So God is going to destroy something that is the perfection of beauty. Look at verse 17. The Lord has done that which he hath devised. He hath fulfilled his word that he had commanded in the days of old. He hath thrown down and hath not pitied, and he hath caused thine enemy to rejoice over thee. He hath set up and the horn of thine adversaries. Their heart cried unto the Lord. O wall of the daughter of Zion, let tears run down like a river day and night. Give thyself no rest. Let not the apple of thine eye cease. Arise, cry in the night. In the beginning of the watches, pour out thine heart like water before the face of the Lord. Lift up thy hands toward him for the life of thy young children that faint for hunger in the top of every street. Just, it's all falling apart. The whole thing is just falling apart. 21. The young and the old lie on the ground in the streets. My virgins and my young men are fallen by the sword. Thou hast slain them in the day of thine anger. Thou was killed and not pitied. It's just quite the stuff to read. The perfection of beauty. Look at chapter 3. Now, before you do that, looking for chapter 4, verse 6. We go from the perfection of beauty, the joy of the whole earth, to verse 6 of chapter 4. For the punishment of the iniquity of the daughter of my people is greater than the punishment of the sin of Sodom, that was overthrown as in a moment, and no hand stayed on her. And it just goes on. It's just, wow, what a crash. Now let's go back to chapter 3. This is a chapter I'm kind of interested in a little bit here. Because, first of all, look at verse 8. Chapter 3, verse 8. Also when I cry and shout, he shutteth out my prayer. You ever feel that way? If you feel that way, it's because you're not familiar with the scriptures, because we know that that will never happen to us. But can you imagine such a position to be in? And I really think a lot of Christians, when things get tough and they get rough, because they don't know their Bible, they don't understand the way the scriptures are written, that they do believe God isn't listening. You just get that feeling. You know, your kids continue to go sourer and sourer. Your finances get worser and worser. Your health gets worser and worser. Your fears, the reality of life, everything's just getting worse. And we wonder, does God hear us? We don't need to wonder if we understand rightly dividing and understand the days that we're in and know in the scripture that he's already told us all about this stuff. Just hang in there. Just go with me on this whole deal. Ride with me. I'll carry you through the storm. That's how we can deal with that. But it must be a terrible thing to think that God has quit listening to you. Forsaken. As Jeremiah says here, when I cry and shout, he shutteth up my prayer. Now look at verse 44. See, it says it again. Thou hast covered thyself with a cloud, where prayer should not pass through. That's one of the things he's concerned about. But now look at verse 22. But at least he was honest. He knows. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. See, he could have easily killed everybody too. But he didn't. We have to learn our lessons, but we don't have to die through them. Parents can teach your children lessons, but you don't have to kill them. Don't have to belittle them. You don't have to hit them so hard with what you're trying to teach them that you actually kill them, you know, either mentally or, like the Bible says, cause them to wrath. How's that verse go? Provoke them unto wrath. Don't need to do that. So we just see some real hard things here. But I see something in verse, let's read verse 21. We already did some of that stuff. Let's not do that. Let's look at chapter 3 again. We're in chapter 3. Look at verse 14. There are two verses in this whole Lamentations. I really, I don't use the word like, but respond to. Verse 14. I was a derision to all my people, and their song all the day. A long time ago, we talked about, in the music sermon, we talked about, look at verse 63. He says, I am their music. So in verse 14, he says, I am their song all the day. In verse 63, he says, I am their music. That, I just look at that and I think, is that what we have for people out there in this world? They don't like Christians. They don't like King James things. They don't like you go to church that you do, you know, and they don't like, you know, you ladies dressing properly and behaving properly and not being loud and all these things. And men having an opinion and standing on it with Scripture and believe what you believe and believe what you teach your family, be strong about it. They don't like that. They just don't like that in this world. You know that in the workplace. If you're not even preaching it to people in the workplace, but you're being the Christian. They don't like that. So when we have issues and we have problems, things happen at the church or things happen in our lives that we don't know how to say, or things happen to your children and you have tried so hard to teach them the proper way. You know what I'm saying? All the things that can happen in our lives that are hard. Because the modern Christian thinks that, well, now that we have Jesus as my Savior, you know, the prosperity gospel, everything should be fine, everything should be hunky-dory, we should have riches now, Jesus will take care of us, all that kind of stuff. And so that crowd in the world out there, they see us with a few statements that we have made, solid stands that we have made on scriptures. It's all about the book still. And they see us and they hear us, and we complain about the pastor, or we complain about people in the church, or we complain about something in this world that we know what's going on. And about our homes and our families, and a sermon, or just something that somebody outside our circle right here can hear you say or worry about or be concerned. It's just like with Jeremiah. Do we become their music? Do they actually like to hear that? That's why Christian this thing where it says, I am their music. I was their song all the day. 63. Let's look at 62. The lips of those that rose up against me and their device against me all the day. Behold, they're sitting down and they're rising up. I mean, they're in charge. They got it. They're the victors here. And he says, I am their music. And he's the victim here, I suppose you could put it that way. It's a bit like you hear him, what's going on. And we don't want to be the music of this world. We don't want to be the music of a modern Christian. We don't want somebody who says they follow Rick Warren to look at our things and see our lives and hear us complain. Your husband doesn't need to hear you complain about something that goes on in here from your pastor, or your wife doesn't, or your neighbors don't, your best friend. You don't need to tell them some of the frustrations and difficulties that you're having as a Christian. Unless you're honest with them about how you teach this whole thing and show them the scriptures, and be honest with them, I'm still struggling, but I know I shouldn't struggle. I mean, there's ways of talking to your best friends, I suppose, in that manner. But I still fear that people in our circle would hear us. We have our difficulties. We have our health things. I got my health fears, and I need to be strong during that thing. You're having your difficulties with your kids, your teachings, your homeschooling, their behavior. Just whatever goes on. Somebody who wonders what it is, why it is what you do, they say, why you do what you do, they certainly don't need to hear you complain about it or be worried about it, because I do believe they are so against what we stand for here that that's music to their ears. They don't need to hear that. So we should be strong, because what's the battle all about? Faith. And don't we grow every week, every day, every month? We're growing. And some people are here, and some people are here. The people that are out here, they don't know that. Their whole religion is based on sight. I mean, everything that Jesus teaches in this Great Commission, a lot of that stuff, I mean, other than the miracles and stuff, they say, what are miracles? Sight. What are wonders? Sight. What are answers to prayer? Sight. Ours is on faith. Sometimes we can't even answer why we say what we say, or we believe what we believe, or we do what we do. We just believe that's the way it is. Can you figure out spiritual circumcision? No, not for a second. Sometimes I've even kind of wondered about that. But then I start thinking, but it has to happen. Otherwise, why can't he just go in anybody? There has to be something that takes place there. So I believe that. There's not a verse that says spiritual circumcision, da 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 da, but it's there. Things like that. How can we be dead to the law? I don't know. But it says that we are. So why is it that we can go ahead and do some of these things? Well, maybe we shouldn't be doing some of those things, because they see that you tripped up too. You know, what was one of the things they liked to do to Jeremiah? They liked to watch him trip up. And where did Jeremiah, what did they quit doing concerning Jeremiah? They quit listening. And so you can bet that those people were just having a great time watching what's happened to God's people and what's happened to Jeremiah, even when he was in prison. There he is down there. Everybody's happy to see the pastor down there. He's finally got what he's got deserving. Who is he to say what he says about such and such? So we can learn a lot from Jeremiah and Lamentations. We do not want to be their music. We don't want to be the song of the world. Even within our homes. You got 2 people, 4 people, 6 people, 10 people, who knows out there, 20 people, whatever. You know, even within your family, especially the parents. The kids just don't need to know our doubts and our frustrations and our angers and our stuff. Because, you know, the kids, as they grow up, that's just going to be music to their ears, because they don't want that righteousness. Remember it said in Romans, I think it's chapter 8, that when we're not saved, we are chapter 6. For when ye were servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. Now, we kind of mentioned a couple of weeks ago, free from righteousness is more fun, feels better, you can do what you want, nobody cares what you're doing. I mean, there's all sorts of ways of looking at that thing that our children would be happier there. And when they find out that you're not happy with a sermon or somebody in the church or a teaching or just whatever it is, you can become their music. Ah, that's music to my ears. Mom and dad are fighting over something. And you know your kids can light you parents up. I mean, they've already got you figured out that they can get you fighting about something. And that's music to their ears, because now they're in control, and now they don't have to believe what you're fighting over, because if you're going to fight over it, it must not be true. You know, somebody comes home and says, you know, I didn't have time to read my Bible today. And one of the kids has been told to read his Bible, read their Bible. Oh, Dad didn't. Mom didn't. I don't have to. Music to their ears. So all sorts of ways to look at stuff in the Old Testament to me. Remember, God tells us that the increase is not our concern. It's not our problem. I should say it's not our problem. It's not for us to deal with. We're the planting and the watering. But that doesn't mean that we don't have a concern. I mean, you plant your crops and water your crops and do the weeding and stuff, and that's all you can do. Yeah, but you got to have a concern out there. I mean, you want this thing to grow. I mean, there's reasons you want it to grow. You know, for crop, for money, and life, and just whatever. So it isn't because Jeremiah didn't have a concern. Look at Lamentations chapter 2. You follow me in that thing? I mean, that's being their music. Haven't you ever said something to somebody and then later on wish you hadn't? About something you're griping about at church or whatever? Even within your own family? You know, Mom did teach me something long time ago when I first got married. She said, just remember, you never can take back your words. Okay, that? The first thing she told me got married was, remember, whatever you say, you can't take back. So, that's something to learn. Jeremiah, and then Lamentations chapter 2, right? Is that what I said? Verse 11. Mine eyes do fail with tears. My bowels are troubled. My liver is poured upon the earth for the destruction of the daughter of my people, because the children and the sucklings swoon in the streets of the city. They say to their mothers, where is corn and wine? When they swoon as the wounded in the streets of the city, when their soul was poured out into their mother's bosom. Hard stuff when you talk about children. Look at verse 19. Arise, cry out in the night. In the beginning of the watches, pour out thine heart like water before the face of the Lord. Lift up thy hands toward him for the life of thy young children that faint for hunger on the top of every street. Look at chapter 4, verse 4. The tongue of the sucking child cleaveth to the roof of his mouth for thirst. The young children ask bread, and no man breaketh it unto them. This is what's going on. Hard stuff to see. Reminds me of the little math girl. Yeah, whatever. Look at chapter 2, verse 20. Behold, O Lord, and consider to whom thou hast done this. Shall the women eat their fruit, and children of a span long? Look at chapter 4, verse 10. Chapter 4, verse 10. The hands of the pitiful women have sodden their own children. They were their meat in the destruction of the daughter of my people. So it just goes on. Lamentations is just a real, honest portrayal of what happened to God's people. And we know it's not going to happen to us, but we know that the Word of God is being destroyed in this world, and we should be concerned. But we can't stop it from happening. Then you've got Christian lives who are falling apart. And how do you help them? I mean, some people are in such a mess that it's just, how do you help them? A check for $1 million, would it get them out of their troubles? in some ways, I suppose, but, no, we're just in a mess today. And if we're getting closer to the tribulation, that's why I believe reading about Jeremiah and reading Lamentations, the tribulation is going to be the same kind of a deal. It'll be terrible. It'll be terrible, because it's going to happen to these people again. Now, look at Romans chapter 5. With all that that's going to be taking place in the tribulation, just gives us a flavor of what it's going to be like. We're not going to be here for it, so I'm not concerned about that. But we still can have some very difficult times for ourselves. And apparently, Jerusalem kind of bounded back. God's people came back strong again. And, you know what, and yet, the Messiah came, and they blew it again. Blew it again. And so we know now that, in fact, Christ himself, the Messiah, said, I'll come back again. Through who? Peter and Stephen. I mean, he's going to say, listen, here he is. We can still do this. I'll still be the Messiah type of a thing. And what did they do to the preacher? They stoned the preacher. So it's not that God hasn't tried to hand over his Messiah himself to his people. But then he goes on to the Gentiles and gives us everything, offers us everything, put it there. He offers us everything. Why is that? Because we're such a cute dog? No, because to show the Jews that this is what you missed. So we accept that we know that they don't accept Christ as their Savior. They still miss out and thus come to tribulation. And fortunately for us, Romans chapter 5, verse 9, is my proof to me personally why we don't have to go through that. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. So the blood had to be shed. See, it hadn't been shed for the Old Testament folks. So we don't have to worry about God's wrath at whatever level it would be. It's been paid for. And that's the whole point about what Paul has to preach compared to the gospel message of the gospels, because see, the blood hadn't been shed yet. So God had every right in the world, in the gospels, to his anger. And some of those cases he did. But anyway, we'll start with Ezekiel next week.